The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericahealth.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to Kiss Your Life Hello with Dr. Vijaya Nair and Dr. Howard Piper. This program is all about relationships from love and family to health and business. It's a diverse world of alternative thinking as it applies to your daily life. Now it's time to kiss your life hello. So here are Drs. Nair and Piper.
Hello, everybody. This is Dr. Vijay, and I want to welcome all of you to a very, very enriching and enlightening show, hopefully, that we are going to be putting on today. Dr. Hitch, unfortunately, would not be able to join us. He's in sunny Palm Springs this morning, but we have with us a phenomenal guest. Before we go into our guest session, I'd like to talk something about something that most of you are writing to me about. It's very interesting because it's got to do with stress and anxiety. And what are the covered-up food cures for anxiety? This is a very, very common reaction to the stresses. Anxiety is a very common, normal reaction to the stresses of everyday living. And one of the fantastic guests that we had on for this show was Pamela Brunner, who last week talked about the use of emotional freedom technique. Emotional freedom technique, or tapping, or EFT, as it's known, to a number of practitioners and who have been, you know, spreading the word around about this amazing, amazing, amazing technique to help people, you know, relieve the anxiety and stresses of daily living, and going on to treat a number of other illnesses as well. Now, this is not a replacement for your medical treatment, but it's something that we can use as ordinary people. A health practitioner can teach an ordinary layperson how to use it, and it's very, very effective tool. So those of you who missed the session, the interview that we had on last week with Pamela Brunner, please tune into our archives, and she'll be talking about her book EFT and Beyond, where we talk about emotional freedom technique and how it can be used to allay a lot of the anxieties and stresses of normal living. Now, everybody, we know, anxiety or disorders, we know, are among the most common of the mental health problems, both in men and women. And the health effects associated with anxiety include high blood pressure, tension headache, diarrhea, fatigue. In fact, the list is endless. And when people suffer from persistent anxiety, they seek doctors, when they come to see them to seek help, typically prescribe anti-anxiety drugs such as Xanax. And what people don't know is that drugs used to treat anxiety can be addictive and create severe withdrawal symptoms when patients try to stop using them. And they may be also harmful to the kidneys and liver. So how do you know that you are at risk? Anxiety is something that we first learn by being around anxious parents or caregivers. If you have an excitable personality, which may be your temperament or genetic-based, you are more prone to anxiety. And abuse of victims and people who witness deaths, for example, such as hospital workers, soldiers, and firefighters, are especially prone to anxiety. So this is something that, you know, we grapple with. And as a psychiatrist, I always say it's my former life. I'm a psychiatrist by training, and I trained at Harvard. I trained at Columbia University here in New York. How do you want to treat the person, or do you want to treat the illness? And right now, when we look at the choices we have, it's not just, you know, prescribing, going to your doctors and taking a prescription pill to reduce your anxiety and stresses of normal life. I believe in a holistic approach. I believe that the patients come first, and you need to know everything about what the person is doing in their lives, including the foods that they take. So I just want to concentrate a little bit about the diet and how many people don't realize that, you know, like, for example, caffeine in every day, you know, coffee, you know, mugs and mugs and mugs of coffee sometimes the people take. If you take more than 3-4 cups a day, you're at risk to taking too much caffeine. And caffeine triggers the release of the brain chemical called norepinephrine, which increases alertness. But caffeine can also cause your body to release adrenaline, just as if you're undergoing stress. Now, it's best to let go of caffeine altogether. Unfortunately, if you can slowly withdraw over a few days and you try using more and more of the decaffeinated coffee and less of the caffeinated coffee, and remembering that caffeine isn't the only source, coffee isn't the only source of caffeine. Tea, cola, Coca-Cola's, you know, many of the over-the-counter medications such as, you know, Excedrin and Anacin may contain caffeine. The second thing that, you know, it's bad news for people, and we had talked about this at length, is the sugar. Sugar is really bad news for people with anxiety. It's well known that simple sugars found in candy, cakes, cookies, and ice cream can cause your body to release too much of the blood sugar-reducing hormone insulin. And this imbalance can lead to a severe drop in blood sugar that causes many people to feel lightheaded and anxious. But all simple sugars, including corn syrup, fructose, and honey, may have this effect. What your body really needs is complex carbohydrates to burn as energy-producing fuel. And good sources of this include unrefined grains found in cereals such as oats, vegetables such as asparagus and avocados. Both are rich sources of stress-reducing vitamin B. And, of course, fresh fruit. The third item that you want to review in your diet is salt. Now, salt is a little bit well-known. A little bit of salt, you know, it's all we need. And salt does more than raise blood pressure in some people. And most people don't know this, but it causes the body to excrete potassium, which keeps your nervous system healthy. So again and again, Dr. H and I have been very, very, you know, emphatic about this on our show. Read the food labels. Please read all the food labels to minimize your sodium intake, to avoid salting your salt. Instead, use natural salt substitutes such as tamari, which is, a natural, and it's like a fermented soy sauce, or lemons or herbs, especially basil and oregano for seasoning. So the right minerals that you need to get are calcium and magnesium, and the gentle herbs, and again, on the diet of minerals, eating a diet rich in minerals such as potassium that's found in salmon, fish like the salmon, cod and apricots, zinc, whole grains, and a phosphorus that's found in oat, bran, chicken, and sunflower seeds, it's also important for alleviating anxiety. And you also need to take gentle herbs if you have an anxiety, you are prone to anxiety. Because herbs, we know, can be as powerful, really powerful, as drugs, and sometimes interact with prescription medicine. So to the best of all our knowledge, tell your healthcare practitioner which herbs you're taking. And three of the herbs that come to my mind immediately is chamomile, which is a mild relaxant. Drinking a cup of chamomile tea before bed or during a coffee break is a good idea. And start with 1 or 2 cups daily. And do not use this herb if you're allergic to plants of the daisy family. All right? The second herb is the peppermint leaf, which calms the nerves. Drink 1 cup of peppermint tea leaf after meals to help with the digestion, and this also promotes relaxation. Nutmeg is another thing that you can use. Nutmeg promotes sleep, which is often disrupted in people with anxiety. And for best results, you grind 1 nutmeg in a coffee grinder and place the powdered herb in empty capsules, which you can buy in health food stores. And keep the capsules in the refrigerator and use within 1 week. As a sleep aid, take one nutmeg capsule 4 or 5 hours before bedtime. And for daytime anxiety, take one capsule in the morning. And this, believe me, listeners, it's not going to cause you a lot of the withdrawal symptoms and the toxicity that's associated with a lot of anxiety medication. And then, of course, the other prescription we have is to exercise every day. Exercise will provide an ideal outlet for your body when you're exposed to excessive adrenaline due to stress. And everyone knows, you know, we talked a lot about on the show the benefits of exercise. But the important thing is to use it daily. All right? And 30 minutes is ideal. If you have difficulty scheduling this, break your activity into 3 10-minute sessions or 2 15-minute workouts. You don't have to go to a gym. You just have to climb up and down some stairs, a garden, or go down the garden or take a brief walk at lunchtime. So the idea is to incorporate all these exercises into your day. One of the things that I really like is walking the labyrinth. It's wonderful to, so labyrinth is an ancient tool that's been used, you know, since antiquity, and it provides a very, very relaxing way to integrate both your right and left hemispheres as you're walking in and out of the labyrinth. And then you want to create some new habits, like, you know, acknowledging yourself, living with a negative self-talk, you know, not being assertive enough. If you tend to say yes too much, you know, you want to say how to say no. So sometimes some people may need a course in assertiveness training. And then, you know, when your relationships, very important to look at your relationship because they are a continual source of anxiety for many people. And sometimes family members and friends mean well, but they replicate old patterns that create anxiety. So you've got to speak to them about your anxiety. If they don't make changes to help relieve your discomfort, avoid these people whenever you can. So a lot of things that we can do, you know, to help ourselves, seek support, seek help for your condition, recognize that you have something. And the other thing I want to talk about is something that our guest today, it's a very, very important topic, something that's a practice that's close to my heart and Dr. H's heart, and that's meditation. So with us today is a clinical psychologist and a Zen master. Her name is Dr. Grace Skurison, and Grace has written a book, amazing book called Zen Women, and this is about a phenomenal. It's underneath that there's like beyond tea ladies, iron maidens, and macho masters. Grace, are you there?
I'm here.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
We just want to invite you, just before we go on the break, how did you get to write this book? Why did you write? Why is Zen Women?
I have been studying meditation for about 45 years. When I was about 20, I met a Zen master. And as I became more deeply involved, I noticed that there were no women. So I didn't quite know how to carry on the teaching without having some grounding in the history of women in the meditation arts. So I began studying these women and making trips over to Asia to learn more about them.
Wonderful. And, you know, you have been in your book, and you talked, we talked briefly about this, that you have been, you know, traveling at length to research your book, and that you have a message for women. How in the traditional, you know, Zen lineage, you know, when you looked at the historical, what do you call it, ancestral women in these traditions, how much of suffering and pain and, you know, difficulties and challenges they had to keep, you know, their tradition, their meditation, their calling to their faith alive, despite the prevailing, difficulties that they faced as women in during those years.
Yes.
What do you have to say about
the rewards of meditation, as you've mentioned, are so profound that even though there were many, many hardships, they stuck with their path and they put their roots deeply into their practice and found ways to really liberate themselves. And I think that this message for women today is very important, as you were talking about. Our conditioning is to just endure and submit, so we need to find ways, appropriate ways, to engage.
Now, you are a self-proclaimed feminist and a Zen Buddhist priest and teacher. How do you reconcile the gender-free Zen ideal with, you know, the historical reality of gender discrimination in Zen training and practice?
Well, first of all, I want to say that even though I do talk a lot about what is happening for women, I don't actually call myself a feminist because I have two sons and grandsons and so on. So it's important, I think, that we include everyone. But even though Zen describes itself as a religion that doesn't discriminate against men or women, that everyone may come equally, the people who have inhabited the Zen tradition are all human, and they've all picked up the values of their culture. So they have attitudes, and most of the Asian meditation traditions have come through cultures that do not support the equality of women.
And yet, the Buddha's stepmother, you mentioned her, we know a lot about it in our you know, discussions and meditation practices, that that she was ideal, that Maha Prajapati Gautami, she braved extraordinary risk and hardships, and she was Buddha's stepmother. In fact, she raised him when his mother passed away during his birth. And she risked these, you know, hardships she had for the enlightenment of women.
Yes.
And how did she do this?
Well, she was a truly remarkable woman, and I think a very strong model for all of us today, because the way history tells a story, although we can't rely on something 2,500 years old, whether it happened this way or not, she actually applied when the Buddha returned from his spiritual journey. She applied to join his order, and he said no. And she shaved her head and put on the robes that the men had put on, the saffron robes. And she and a number of women walked quite a distance barefoot, maybe, you know, several hundred miles barefoot, to join the Buddha and to stand outside where he was teaching. That's the way the story is told. But I think the important element for women today is that even when your feelings are hurt, obviously this was her son, her stepson, her nephew, because it was her daughter's son that she raised. And even though she had raised him and loved him and taken care of him, when he rejected her, obviously this must have hurt her feelings terribly. And yet she persisted because the women she helped really needed her help. So I think that this is a very important model, that women are very sensitive to their feelings and having their feelings hurt. And when they feel a rejection, they sometimes alter their course. But she persisted in her course and persisted in her relationship. In other words, she didn't leave the relationship with the Buddha. She just did what needed to be done and didn't let her feelings sway her from that.
Well, thank you so much. And when we come back from the break, we're going to be talking more about the women and these powerful spiritual pioneers, and what do they have to say for modern men and women living in our times. Stay tuned.
Step into a healthier you. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Jiva Supplements proves that natural products can best be used in combination with mind-body therapies such as meditation, Reiki, reconnection energy, emotional freedom techniques, and other life-enhancing practices to provide you with all the vitality and joy you need to lead healthy, fulfilling, and joyous lives. You can read all about Dr. Vijaya Nair's work by visiting jivasupplements.org. That's J-I-V-A supplements.org. Or call 800-517-7606 for a free brochure and information. Dr. Nair's and Dr. Piper's books are available through Amazon.com, major bookstores, and health food stores. Nose and sinus issues? Wash the tissues. The new Neti NasoPure all-natural nasal wash system. Your nose is your body's personal filter, so clean all those irritants with NasoPure. A clean nose will improve your breathing, reduce ear, sinus, throat, and nasal problems. NasoPure will reduce your need for medication simply by washing your nose clean daily. If you're looking for the perfect Neti, NasoPure is safe, comfortable, and convenient. The natural way to keep you and your family healthy. Try Dr. Hanna's NasoPure. Just follow your nose to NasoPure.com. Or call 877-853-PURE.
Experience higher love, an archangelic journey into ascended joy and authentic living.
Your hosts, Sri Ram Ka and Kira Ra, will assist you to open your heart, expand your love, and be ever present with true joy.
Your journey with Sri and Kira begins right here on the Seventh Wave Network with Higher Love, Wednesdays at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern.
This ain't your mama's brain and health show.
Tune in and get ready for entertainment and information about your mind and body that will really change your life. Primal Body, Primal Mind Radio is a sane departure from conventional thinking about diet, health, and the brain. Host Nora Gedgaudas will also combine humor and science to illuminate the mind and open your eyes to the principles of neurofeedback and diet, which can help you and your family live a better life. Primal Body, Primal Mind Radio airs live Wednesdays at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
Listening to Kiss Your Life Hello with your hosts, Dr. Vijaya Nair and Dr. Howard Piper. To participate in this program, please call in toll-free at 1-866-472-5792. Again, that's 1-866-472-5792. Or send an email to info@kissyourlifehello.com. Now back to Kiss Your Life Hello.
Hello, everyone. This is Dr. Vijay, and with us today, we have an exceptional guest with us. She is none other than Dr. Grace Skirison, and Grace is the author of the phenomenal book called Zen Women, Beyond Tea Ladies, Iron Maidens, and Macho Masters. You have to read this book. It's incredible, especially for those of you who practice meditation and, you know, Buddhism. This is not a new age concept. Grace and I were just sharing about it over the break that, you know, most people think that, you know, meditation and relaxation is a new age phenomena. Oh, no, this is based on thousands of years old precepts and philosophies. But Buddha was just like, you know, an ordinary man. And he lived through very tumultuous times of wars and griefs and, you know, dysfunctional families and, you know, strife. And people like then and now are looking for, you know, what's the meaning of life. But we have this extraordinary book here that Grace has written, and she's a Zen master and a psychologist, a clinical psychologist. Grace, tell us a bit about this extraordinary women that, you know, you talk about in your book who established a women's Zen lineage. Now, in China, in Korea, in Japan, and just by reading your book, and I tested it out and asked a number of my friends in the Buddhist community, and they said they have never heard that it was women Buddhists who primarily brought Buddhism from China into Korea and then from Korea into Japan. And why is this fact not known? And what can you tell us about these extraordinary, you know, Zen's earliest female followers and supporters? How did they defy the social standards and expectations of their times?
Well, they did so very carefully. So I think this is important to know. Like all of us today, we don't stray too far from the social mores of our time, or we're going to get into big trouble. So, for example, in Japan, the first ordained priests in Japan were women. But in the other countries, they were men who traveled either from India to China or China to Korea. As we saw in the in this current century, or in the last century, even the 20th century, the men who came over, it was all men who came over from the Asian countries bringing the meditation practice. And so when they did, they brought a practice that they had learned in the monasteries. Now, in Asia, the men and women practice in different settings. So when the men came to the West bringing the meditation practices, they brought the meditation practices of men, and they didn't. Most of them had never practiced alongside of nuns or women. So they taught both men and women in the West how to meditate and how to practice according to what was done in male monasteries. And part of what I'm doing in my book is bringing back to life some of the trainings and teachings of the women, because I believe that in order to have a deep practice, you have to practice as yourself. You don't practice as a woman imitating a man. You practice as a woman. And some of the practices that the women did involved much more emphasis on relationship and also making things with their hands for other people. So I think that when the women took to the practice, they were not welcomed, but they found their own ways, and that's the point that's so relevant to our lives today, that women need to find their own way within spiritual traditions and within the way they work, and they need to recognize that even though it seems like men have built this world, while we were tending the homes and taking care of them, they built a certain world, and it doesn't always fit, so we need to adapt it to fit ourselves.
Now, in Zen Women, you also celebrate these pioneering nuns who made extraordinary sacrifices for this, you know, privilege of studying with the male masters. Now, what can the modern, you know, women, whether Zen women or people who believe in spiritual, you know, a way of life or incorporating meditation and other spiritual practices, what can we as women, and men too, learn from women like, you know, you give examples like Mugai Nyodai and Roinen Genso. You know, they had to disfigure themselves so they can enter a Zen practice.
Well, that's true, and I think that was one of the most frightening things that I had read about when I first began to study Zen as a young woman. Would I have to do that? Would I be willing to do that? Would I be willing to sacrifice my physical appearance in order to be accepted? You know, women were seen as a terrible temptation to the monks. So if a woman wanted to study in a male monastery, and oftentimes there weren't female training places, the Zen master would say, well, you know, you're going to distract my followers. So these women often, or several of them anyway, disfigured themselves with a hot iron. They burned their faces so that they could enter. And what they were saying was, the most important thing to me is my own development, my own spiritual development, and I don't care for my vanity. This is a very profound statement, and I think how we can relate to it is, we think about how much time we waste on worrying about what we look like. It's not that we shouldn't, you know, dress well or, you know, adorn ourselves, but sometimes I think we become obsessed with it and to the detriment of our full development as human beings. So that's what I take away from their disfigurement. Not that we should disfigure ourselves. We don't need to. We can enter the practice. But how much attention do we give to being attractive or appealing, or how much do we ingratiate ourselves with others rather than learning what it is we need and coming from our own center?
No, that's a very good. And you know, how did these early nuns integrate work, you know, for money, not charity, you know, with Zen practice? What can we learn? Most of us are working women. How can we learn from that?
Well, these women often had to support themselves, which was different from the male masters.
Yes.
The male monks often had the support of royalty or patrons, and the women did not have that advantage. So they had to apply themselves to work, and they found ways to engage with their communities and really use their spiritual practice to engage with other people, or to create art. And so I think, you know, just as we all take in nourishment, there's an expression in Zen, water drunk by the cow becomes milk. Water drunk by the snake becomes venom. You know, we can use meditation practice to make ourselves more submissive or more repressed if we just try to take everything out of our mind and blank ourselves out and follow along. On the other hand, if we take it in, we take in the meditation practice and become very liberated by it, allow ourselves to become integrated as people, we can really access deep creative abilities in ourselves, and that way fulfill ourselves. And I think these women did that.
You know, it was interesting because the earlier part of the show, I talked about, you know, anxiety and stress. And we have Pamela Brunner, who came in as a wonderful guest last week, to talk about an emotional freedom technique, tapping, which is an ancient, you know, technique actually used using the meridian points in Chinese acupressure treatments. But instead of putting needles, they're actually points on the face and upper torso that you can tap to release the anxiety and the fears and the old belief systems, you know, that's behind anxieties to deal with that. How, you know, we've done so much of, you know, I'm very involved in research and, you know, meditation. And, you know, a lot of these teachings are so important to relieve anxiety, just even as a practice of, you know, just not just the meditation. But when you go deeper with your meditation, you unleash or you go into, you tap into your creative resources. And each woman, you know, has to, or each man really, everyone has to go into their creative resources to come up with, you know, techniques and practices that can help you deal with the stresses of living. Can you tell us a little bit, how do you incorporate that into your clinical practice? Tell us a little bit more about your practice as a psychologist.
Well, currently, I'm not seeing patients in actual therapy, but I'm teaching people to meditate. I just find that so much more rewarding to give people...
Yes.
responsibility for taking care of themselves. Now, you mentioned the acupuncture and meridian systems, and of course, the meditation I do, the Zen meditation I do, is completely based on the Taoist meridian system and integrating that into the body, the energy that comes from the hara or the lower dantian is based on that system. So I teach people, first of all, how to do the meditation and then how to be aware of their bodies so that when stress arises during the day, they can return to the power of their meditation, the energy of their meditation, and the awareness that has arisen from that meditation, and examine calmly what is arising. So what I teach people is, as you examine what is arising, you yourself become more aligned with that which observes and less stressed about what you're actually observing. So this is a difference between the essence of mind and the contents of mind. And the more you do the meditation, the more energy arises in that which observes. And one can observe calmly and rather than getting pulled around by all the conditions and stresses of everyday life.
Thank you so much, Grace. When we come back from the break, we're going to talk a little bit more about the problematic place of, you know, how do you look at sexuality and emotions, and how does meditation help one, you know, come to terms with, especially women, with their bodies, you know, as what do we consider that, and what do the Buddhist nuns think about that? So stay tuned. We have a very, very important and interesting answer to that question.
Steps to a Healthier You. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Nose and sinus issues? Wash the tissues. The new Neti NasoPure all-natural nasal wash system. Your nose is your body's personal filter, so clean all those irritants with NasoPure. A clean nose will improve your breathing, reduce ear, sinus, throat, and nasal problems. NasoPure will reduce your need for medication simply by washing your nose clean daily. If you're looking for the perfect Neti, NasoPure is safe, comfortable, and convenient. The natural way to keep you and your family healthy. Try Dr. Hanna's NasoPure. Just follow your nose to NasoPure. Or call 877-853-PURE. Jiva Supplements proves that natural products can best be used in combination with mind-body therapies such as meditation, Reiki, reconnection energy, emotional freedom techniques, and other life-enhancing practices to provide you with all the vitality and joy you need to lead healthy, fulfilling, and joyous lives. You can read all about Dr. Vijaya Nair's work by visiting jivasupplements.org. That's J-I-V-A supplements.org. Or call 800-517-7606 for a free brochure and information. Dr. Nayer's and Dr. Piper's books are available through Amazon.com, major bookstores, and health food stores.
If you hear a dog barking or an angel singing, then you know that you are listening to Waking Up in America. Heard every Wednesday at 3 Pacific Time, Valerie Kirkhard and all of her friends will bring you powerful and humorous discussions that raise thoughts and give you insight on how to live your life to its fullest potential. Adventure is always a must on Waking Up in America with Valerie Kirkhard, every Wednesday at 3 Pacific.
Are you ready to go green?
You've asked, and we've heard you.
Voice America presents the Green Talk Network. Environmental topics are at the forefront of our society, and the Green Talk Network is here to keep you up to date on the latest trends and new innovations for the eco-conscious lifestyle. We'll help promote a variety of ideas on the environment, from global warming issues to how you can become more eco-friendly in your daily activities. Be a part of the solution, not the problem. Visit the Green Talk Network page on voiceamerica.com and tune in to help spread the green.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
You're listening to Kiss Your Life Hello with your hosts, Dr. Vijaya Nair and Dr. Howard Piper. To participate in this program, please call in toll-free at 1-866-472-5792. Again, that's 1-866-472-5792. Or send an email to info@kissyourlifehello.com. Now back to Kiss Your Life Hello.
Welcome back, everyone. This is Dr. Vijay, and with us we have Dr. Grace Gerson, author of the book Zen Women, Beyond Tea Ladies, Iron Maidens, and Macho Masters. Now, Grace, tell us, tell our listeners, where can we get the book?
Well, the book is certainly available at Amazon.com, so you can go to that site there. And in most bookstores, I think the larger bookstores are carrying it. And also, Wisdom Publications is another online source of the book.
And your website, if the listeners want
my
to
My website is a little bit of a Buddhist joke. You know, we talk in Buddhism about form and emptiness. So my website is emptynestzendo.org because it refers to the women's connection to family. Emptynestzendo.org. That's emptynestzendo.org. And that's where you can find me. But you can also find me on Facebook under Grace Shearson. That's S-C-H-I-R-E-S-O-N. And if you look up the book, Zen Women, you'll find the spelling of my name.
Wonderful. Now, I want to come back to the question of sex. Very important. And I think Dr. H is going to miss that. He didn't get to ask you this question, but I am. Now, early Buddhist nuns, we know, lived in a very sensual culture. And how did these teachings and practices of these ancient, Zen nuns help modern women, you know, deal with this complex and problematic place of sexuality and emotions in meditation, in our spiritual life? How do we handle all this business about our body being used as sex objects or not? And, you know, how can we deal with this?
Well, you know, the very first thing we need to do is become aware of how the culture has turned women's bodies into objects, and also how we objectify ourselves. We don't think of ourselves often enough as whole people, but really as what kind of an attractive package can we create? And of course, our culture emphasizes this, and perfumes and makeup and makeovers and plastic surgery all are about turning women into attractive packages. I'm not saying we should walk around looking terrible, but we really objectify ourselves and see ourselves in some ways as sex objects. And the ancient women in India that you referred to that live in this sensual culture had this same experience, and they write about their freedom from it. We all lose these wonderful and beautiful qualities we have in a certain way. We become wise, but we aren't as pretty. Of course, younger women should be pretty, and older women should be able to handle the fact that they are now wisdom carriers and not needing to be so beautiful. But we become obsessed with our own beauty, and these women write about how they needed to let go of that and how they found their freedom with it. And also the ways that they had used their sexual attractiveness almost in an aggressive sense. And we don't talk about that so much. We talk about women being victims in our culture, but, you know, we derive power from being attractive and seductive. And I think it's very important for us to look at the unwholesome ways that we use our attractiveness and think of ourselves as objects.
You know, it's very interesting because in your chapter 12, and you talk about women and sexuality in Western practice, and this is not just with Zen practices, but, you know, any religion, all religions that we are looking at right now, you know, women and their place of women in men, and especially in religious centers, whether it's Catholic, the Church, or even the Taliban, to go to one other extreme. And, you know, every culture deals with this aspect of how to deal with women. So I'm glad that, you know, so read the book, Zen Women, listeners, and you can get a little bit more depth about what Grace is talking about. You know, how do we look at ourselves as women? What do we do? What do we want? And how do we fit ourselves in the culture, in the society we live in the community we live in, you know, to uphold our values? Now, I know we are coming to the top of the hour, Grace, but what would you like to leave our listeners with? I mean, what is the message you want to get out there with your book, and who, you know, the message that you're trying to create with this book, Zen Women? What would you like to leave our listeners with?
Well, like you, I truly believe in the liberating power of meditation practice. And I believe meditation and this prayer practice of centering the mind is at the base of every religion. It's the basis for all spirituality, really coming into contact with the infinite and using that energy to liberate yourself, not to take on further conditioning of the institutions or of the culture. So the way to freedom, in my mind, is through this meditation practice, which can help with the cultural conditioning as well as the bad experiences we've had, to free us and offer us a larger scope and potential in our lives.
Now, you talked about, you know, one of your sessions, you know, a woman comes in and says, you know, but what was it that she said? Religion has not been good to women?
Yes, that's right. She said that it's surprising to her, as I was talking about the history of women, that religion is not good for women, because oftentimes they'll come into a religion, whatever their religion is, and take up these values, these cultural values that have been absorbed in the institution. So I think it's very important to see the difference between institutions and the actual practices that they offer, because many of the institutions are very biased against women, and yet the practices themselves are very good for women in terms of liberating their spirit and their intellect and their emotions.
Well, that's phenomenal. I just want to, you know, I could go on and on and on, because, you know, there's so many topics here that are so relevant. And, you know, it's wrong to say that, you know, it's just a history book what you have written. You spend a very, very, very long time, years, you know, writing and researching this book, phenomenal book, Zen Women. And the thing is, the place, the past, the history of the struggles, the challenges, you know, the great traditional, you know, spiritual, you know, pioneers, the women pioneers, and the message they bring to our culture and people, you know, women especially living in contemporary times. I just want to congratulate you on an exceptional and a powerful, powerful book. And I'm reminded here, the abbess of the Upaya Zen Center, Joan Halifax, wrote that this is an exceptional and powerful classic with great depth, humor, and clarity. Wonderful book. Thank you so much, Grace, and we look forward to having you, you know, on the show and you know, just listening to the wisdom that you expound.
Well, thank you so much for having me on the show. It's been a great pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
So, bye-bye.
And so, listeners, we have this book, Zen Women. It's out in Amazon.com. It's available and in all major bookstores. I strongly urge you, if you are especially women, and or if you're a man and you're interested in what the women's perspectives are, which we hope all the male listeners are listening into, or women, we have to train our male partners. But you know, this is a beautiful, beautiful. It's riveting. The research has gone in. You know how much of efforts have been done over the centuries to wipe out the efforts of women. And we see it happening again and again and again. And we wonder to ourselves, why is it there are so few women in leadership positions, not just in the religious and spiritual traditions, but in so many areas of our lives? And maybe the book can shed some, you know, clue and some enlightenment on this topic. How women shouldn't, you know, as women, we shouldn't give up our calling. Whatever is our calling, we shouldn't give that up just because, you know, we face challenges and difficulties and the culture saying, no, you cannot do this because you're a woman and, you know, you must be protected by a man or, you know, whatever the tradition or the culture or your belief systems, you know, you were brought up with. We can overcome adversities. We can overcome the challenges. And this is a very, very encouraging, very inspiring, and it's a very profoundly, heartwarming book that Dr. Grace Skirison has written. With that, I just want to say a little bit about who's coming in next week. This is following up on what we talked about, relationships, which is a ground of causing so much of anxiety in a relation in our lives. The next guest that we'll have on next week, and Dr. Piper will be with us, Dr. H. is Dr. Terry Orbach's book. Dr. Terry has written a book called 5 Simple Steps to Take Your Marriage from Good to Great. All right, it's based on a groundbreaking study and more than 20 years of research. And Dr. Terry Orbach, our guest, and the author of this book, she is the project director of the Early Years of Marriage Project, and she's a research professor at the Institute for Social Research at the University of Michigan and a professor at Oakland University. She's also the host of the weekly The Love Doctor radio show here on voiceamerica.com. And she's been a marriage therapist for more than 20 years. So for all of you who are, married or in relationships and, you know, wanting to know about 5 simple steps to take your marriage from good to great, tune in next week when we will interview our guest, Dr. Terry Orbach. This is Dr. VJ, and on behalf of Dr. H, I'm going to sign off. And I want to say that what Dr. H always says, if nobody has told you they love you, let me be the first. We love you. We love you very much. Have a safe and blessed week ahead. Bye-bye now.
Thank you again for joining Dr. Vijaya Nair and Dr. Howard Piper for Kiss Your Life Hello. We'll return next Wednesday morning at 7 a.m. Pacific Time, 10 a.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. Have a great week.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericahealth.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Tune into Inner Speak Soul Adventures Talk Radio Show every Tuesday evening at 5 p.m. Pacific Time, 8 Eastern, and learn how to let go of your past and create the reality you desire and deserve, allowing your inner communication to take place more easily without the interference of our noisy mind chatter or your ego. Inner Speak Soul Adventures with Gene Adrian, right here on the 7th Wave Network.
As a new era approaches December 2012, Evolution invites you to expand awareness now to become the magnificent creator you forgot you are. Explore beyond current sensory perceptions with host Doreen Agostino to align body, mind, spirit, and unleash inner wealth. Discover and apply universal success principles to consciously and deliberately create your life. To align with inner truth, shine light of new thought, and joyfully prosper. Tune in Wednesdays at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 p.m. Pacific Time on 7th Wave Network.
Tune in every Tuesday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time for The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. On the show, Aldana and some of today's top business professionals will discuss some of today's most pressing business issues that hold you, the business owner, back. Aldana will also give you 21 ways to grow with her list of growth strategies. Grow smart, grow profit, and grow your business with Aldana Ambler and The Grow Strategist every Tuesday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time, right here on the Bottom Line in Business Talk, Voice America Business.
Annie Arman, live.
Teens, you have got to tune into this show and listen to your fellow teens. If you're out there confused because somebody is trying to put doubts in you, making you think that you can't do what you want to do, get it straight. You can, you will, and you will get it done no matter what. And don't ever give up because you're not alone.
Don't miss Annie Arman live on Voice America, Wednesdays from 4 to 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time.
The incidence of autism has increased at an alarming rate. Approximately 1 in 150 children are affected by autism, giving autism the undesired ranking as the most prevalent childhood developmental disorder in the U.S. 67 children will be diagnosed today. That is nearly one child every 20 minutes. Autism One, a conversation of hope, brought to you by Enzymedica, hosted by Terry Aranga, illuminates how right now there is more reason than ever for individuals with autism spectrum disorders and their families to have the best hope for the brightest future. Autism is treatable, and given appropriate therapies, children are recovering. With well-known researchers and doctors, members of Congress, and expert service providers from a wide range of disciplines, Terry offers interviews and insights highlighting the progress in areas related to autism spectrum disorders such as biomedical research and treatment, communication, education, and behavioral modalities, sociological and philosophical issues, and legislative advocacy and insurance concerns. Autism One, a conversation of hope, broadcasts each Tuesday at 9 a.m. Pacific on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. Autism One, a conversation of hope. Through education and conversation, there is hope.
Technology is changing the way we live our lives and how we do business. On CIO Talk Radio, we talk about the benefits of technology and the great things it allows us to do, as well as its risks. Heard every Wednesday at 9 a.m. Central, 7 a.m. Pacific, Sunjo Gall interviews business leaders and other experts that are shaping the way we use technology. To learn more about the show, visit www.ciotalkradio.com. Keep up with the changing world of technology and listen to CIO Talk Radio with Sunjo Gall. Listen in every Wednesday at 9 a.m. Central, 7 a.m. Pacific, right here on Voice America Business.
What would you do if you knew that you could not fail? The Dr. Pat Show with Dr. Pat Basile is a radio forum for some of the world's most influential people in the fields of health, wellness, and human potential. Dr. Pat brings together and introduces visionary scientists and futurists, environmentalists, educators, business leaders, inventors, filmmakers, authors, artists, mystics, and healers who inspire and support individual and collective growth and positive cultural shifts. This award-winning radio show empowers the listening community to be the change they want to see in the world. Tune in every Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific for the Dr. Pat Show with Dr. Pat Basile, radio to thrive by.
The violent crime rate has begun to rise again. So what's more important than feeling at ease and secure in your daily life? With an optimistic perspective on a sober subject, crime prevention and personal safety expert Susan Bartlestone brings you the information, tips, resources, and inspiring success stories that will reduce your fear and restore your confidence. So stay tuned and stay safe with Crime Prevention 101 and Susan Bartlestone every Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 5 p.m. Pacific, here on Voice America.
It'd be a crime not to listen.
Listen for the American Advisor with Joe Battaglia twice every week. This is a live call-in talk show where Joe discusses the economic and political events that affect your investments. Joe's macro market calls have helped thousands of investors pave their way to a more secure financial future. As a bonus, everyone who calls into the program will receive a 1964 Silver Kennedy half-dollar coin that's been graded uncirculated. The American Advisor is heard every Monday at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Variety Channel, and every Friday at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Business Channel.
Are you tired of the government squandering your tax dollars on bailouts and overpaid bureaucrats? On Free Markets with Dr. Mike Beitler, Mike Beitler and his guests explain why big government regulations are the problem and innovative businesses and free markets are the solution. Listen to Free Markets with Dr. Mike Beitler, Thursday mornings at 10 a.m. Eastern Time, 7 a.m. Pacific on the Voice America Business Network.
Do you know that over 70% of Americans with severe disabilities are unemployed? Are you one of the 2.5 million Americans with epilepsy? If you are, or know someone struggling with these issues, tune in to Disability Matters with Joyce Bender. On the show, Joyce will discuss these issues as well as others. She will have on nationally known guests that will offer helpful insight on disability matters and let you, the listener, call in with your questions and concerns. So if you struggle with a disability or know someone who does, listen to Disability Matters with Joyce Bender. Heard every Tuesday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time here on VoiceAmerica.com.
Think of the world 50 years ago. Now think of this same world and how it'll be 50 years from now. Did you know that if the world's population continues to grow at its current rate, our children and grandchildren will only have 25% of the resources per capita that our parents and grandparents had? We must preserve the foundation of a quality standard of living. That foundation starts with Go Green Radio. Join your host, Jill Buck, for Go Green Radio every Friday at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Voice America. The latest business information is made simple with the Voice America Business Network. The professionals in the business world bring you live talk radio shows featuring an array of business topics, strategies for building wealth, sales and marketing, stock trading, investing, and business technology. Voice America Business hosts are professionals in their fields and bring to the airwaves weekly business discussions that offer up-to-date information, advice, and education. The Voice America Business Network, the bottom line in business talk.
Are you ready to learn all about NASCAR from an insider's perspective? Join Eddie DeHaan every week for the NASCAR Insider. It's an interactive look at the world of NASCAR from the drivers to the crew chiefs. You'll hear from top-flight NASCAR guests that the other shows only wish they could have. Hear about last week's recap, this week's news, and more. Call in to interact with Eddie and his guests every Tuesday afternoon at 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific, exclusively on the Power Up Motorsports channel.